The one thing that I learned to do is the one thing that set me free, because a lot of my buddies started in real estate at the same time as I did in 2009, the crash. But the reason I've got a lot more zeros to my net worth is because I learned to master a skill called raising private money.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Millennial Millionaire Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow. And on today's Multifamily Mondays, we've got a very special guest, the one and only Corey the Big Kahuna Peterson. Corey Peterson is the owner of Kahuna Investments. Corey strives to provide his investors with stable cash flow returns and long-term capital appreciation by buying multifamily apartments. Corey has managed and acquired over $95 million in real estate across the country. He is the best-selling author of Copy Your Way to Success, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants, and host of the Multifamily Legacy Podcast. He speaks around the country on this subject, including at Harvard and NASDAQ. Corey is frequently featured on Fox, CBS, ABC, and NBC affiliates. And to me, Corey is a little more than that. Corey is my mentor when it comes to multifamily investing. Really special guy. He wants to give more than he wants to take. And I think that attributes Corey's success. In today's episode, Corey is going to share a wonderful story. I've heard this story several times. I always pick up a nugget or two, a new nugget or two every time I listen to his story. And second, it just gets you in the feels. It's just one of those good stories. Corey grew up on a farm in Missouri. You know, it didn't come from much. He's a true rags to riches story. And then he became used car salesman. And then he went to the financial services world like myself, but he was a financial advisor and he hit the grindstone. He was doing the whole door knocking, cold calling, built a portfolio right before the crash of 08. And the crash of 08 happened and his clients lost half of their hard earned nest egg. And his heart left the business because he was seeing grown people cry. Grown men, grown women cry because they lost their nest egg. And on top of that, if he wanted to make a change in the portfolio, he had to charge him a fee. So he just lost heart. He'll get more into this in the story, but earlier in his life, something happened where he realized he wanted to be in real estate, but he kind of just put it aside. But at that moment, when his heart left the business of financial advising, he knew he really wanted to go into real estate. So he made the plunge and he got into fixing and flipping, wholesaling, doing REOs and short sales. And to most people, he was a success, a big success. But to himself, at the end of the day, he wasn't, because he was failing. To him mattered most, and that was his family. And just with a simple mindset shift, he was able to change the course of his life and create a life of what he calls sunsets in palm trees. But I won't get into it anymore, but everyone should be taking notes on this one. He gives away some great nuggets, not on just how to find your passion and pursue it, but when it comes to action, multifamily, like what you should be doing and as both a passive and active investor. All right, let's get into this show. You guys are going to like this one. Hey, Corey, welcome to the show.
Man, dude, thanks for having me, Sean. I'm super excited.
Hey, thanks for being here. This is an important one for me. This one means a lot. As I mentioned in the intro, Corey's my mentor when it comes to multifamily real estate. So I'm just super excited to have him on. We're going to learn a lot today. I'm even repping for those watching the Kahuna Investment swag. So,
yeah, you got some swag on, bro. Rent's due, baby.
It is on the back. Rent's due.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Corey, for coming on. Yeah, I just want to get right into it. You have a very unique story, essentially from a used car. Well, you lived in Missouri working on a farm to a used car salesman, and then you created this life of sunsets and palm trees. So if you could just explain to listeners how this all happened and where you're at today.
Yeah, man. Listen, I'll start off by saying this business is better than I even could have imagined. Like when I first jumped into real estate, you know, like a lot of people, I was scared, nervous, but I will just tell you that it will give you everything that you could ever want. I mean, it gives you time and money and resources where you can make a difference in other people's lives. And where I'm at today, I'll just start with where I'm at today. And then I'm going to go back and tell the story a little bit of how I got there. But you know, we currently have over $100 million of properties under management that we own. Pretty good percentage of the deals that we're in, like as far as your percentage of GP, usually it's 50 to 60%, which is quite a bit more than what most syndicators are doing out there.
Right.
And so we feel like we're in a great spot. And honestly, I just celebrated yesterday, and I know this recording will go out, 18 years of marriage. So I've been married to the same woman for 18 years. We've been together for 20. And never in our wildest dreams would we have thought our journey would lead to where we're at now, where we truly believe that we're living what I call the sunsets and palm trees life, where we have passive money coming in regardless of what we do. And so, but to go back to where I started, I was selling cars. I was a used car salesman, and you know the kind, the one that's smoking, joking. I actually was a smoker back then.
I was, man.
I was a typical car guy. It was bad. I look back and say, oh my God, can't stand that guy. And then I met Shelly, and one day she came to me and said, listen, I can't marry a car salesman. And she was serious. And at that point, like, I barely made it out of high school. I wasn't that smart. I had a strong work ethic. But, like, when you don't have a college degree and you're trying to go find a job, like, you got to either sell something or manage something if you want to make any kind of income in a way. So I sold cars. And so I was really hesitant. I was like, gosh, you know, but she was serious. So I ended up becoming a restaurant manager. So I went from there to restaurant management. And something happened. So we were about maybe 2 years into our marriage. And my mom was married to this man, and I call him Bruce Wayne, right? Because, like, his name's Bruce, but I call him Bruce Wayne. He's not Batman, but he was loaded. Like, it was the richest man that I ever knew. And he actually had a home in Hawaii. Shelly and I went out there, and my mom invited us to come out, and we'd find out he had a home right on the beach in Kauai, which is the Garden Island, which is the most beautiful island of all of them, I think. So we get right there, and it's like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Like, you walk out the back door, and within 50 feet, your toes are in the water. And I remember it was on a cove. So me and Shelly walked the cove, and we actually watched the sun come up. And it was the most magical sunset that I'd ever experienced. And I remember looking over at Bruce's house, and I was like, what does this guy really do? Because he had time and money, man. There was no mistaking of he was living a good life. And he had fine art, nice cars, and his phone was not ringing. And that was different, man, because I'd never seen that type of wealth. I just pointed out and said, what do you do? And then he ushered the magic words. He said he was in real estate and that he owned apartments. And I was like, wow. Now, I wish the story got better with Bruce, but he was a grumpy old man. And so I still left the island thinking that, man, Bruce is the big kahuna. Like, he had time and money, and he was like, he was running his own show. And then about 4 months later, this was like in 2004, this happened. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And when I read that book, all I could think of was the real life person I met was Bruce. And that was what Bruce was doing. And I made up my mind right there that that's what Corey wanted to do. So in 2005, I started my company, and I was thinking about what do I call it? And then I was like, well, I know where I want to end up. I want to be like the big kahuna. And so I named my company Kahuna Investments.
That's perfect.
I wanted to be the big kahuna. And then the journey really started. Like, I started writing every book that I could. And I actually took a line of credit on my home. So I had like $30,000. And I bought I was living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Actually, the Yellow Pages, right? This is crazy. This is going to date me a little bit, okay? So I'm opening up the Yellow Pages, and one book I read said, call the REO departments, right? And ask for the REO department and for the banks. And I was like, well, I don't want to call banks because they scare me, but I'll call a credit union. So I was looking at credit unions, and American Airlines Federal Credit Union was like the third call I made. And I met this girl called, her name was Holly Lane, and Holly was in charge of the REO department. And so there just so happened that there was a big, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there's a big maintenance facility. And so they give out loans to people in that area. So there were some homes available that I could buy. And so I bought them. I actually did 3 or 4 fix and flips. I made a little bit of money. I thought it was so good that I quit my job. And then my first real obstacle came in the way, which is I ran out of money because I ended up buying 3 rental properties. And now I had a portion of all my money that I made in each rentals. But I wasn't cash flowing enough to really quit.
Right.
And then we still needed some income from Corey. And my wife's like, you're going to have to go get a job. And so I actually smartened up. I had a good friend that was a financial advisor with Edward Jones. And meanwhile, while I was doing these fix and flips, I was actually going to school. And I was like, I'll become a pharmacist. Don't ask me how I would think of pharmacists. But I was like, pharmacists can make $100,000 out the gate. And I can use that to buy more real estate. That was my logical thinking.
Yep.
And so my buddy was like, dude, why are you going to go get all that debt of student loans when you could just be a financial advisor and make the same amount of money?
Yep.
I was like, and he goes, do you think you can really count pills every day? And I was like, you know what? You're right. I go, but don't you have to have a degree to be a financial advisor? He goes, no, you just need a good recommendation and pass the test.
Get a 70 on that test.
Yeah, I mean, like a 72. I barely passed, but it's all you got to get is a 70. You come from the financial world as well.
Yep.
Right? And I'll tell you this. I feel like that training, because Edward Jones is known in the business as one of the best training, teaching new financial advisors, FAs, the business and how to do it. Now, they're not very sophisticated with puts and options and, you know, all the sophisticated trading, but they're really good at teaching you how to go find people and get them to give you their money. Very methodical. And it's really the Edward Jones grind your way to success. I started door knocking. I door knocked for 2 years.
Wow.
Every part of my day, 3 days. When you first start, that's all you did for like every day. Every day was 25 quality contacts and you found them by door knocking.
Is it true that they give you a golf ball to door knock? I've heard that before.
So they don't
cut your knuckles up because you're supposed to knock so much.
What they need is give you some gold bond too. Because you get some swash there, some swash.
Right.
But suit and tie, and here's what Edward Jones gave me, was a story, a company to stand behind, and a vision. I actually put my real estate vision on hold, but I learned about the financial industry, and this was like 2007, and then 2008.
Yep.
So once 8 happened, that's when I got a real wake-up call. So I finally got my own branch. But when the market crashed, every investment that I'd ever made with anybody was crap. And I had grown men and women that are retired, that was just entering retirement, and half their wealth is gone, like that, felt like. And there was no safe place to put it. And if I hadn't moved their money, they're like, move my money, which was really the bad thing to do. And so then we had to charge them a fee to trade their money, to move their money. And that was like adding injury to insult. They already got half, and then I'm going to make them pay a commission.
Yeah.
So I'm talking grown men and women coming in sobbing, right? And I realized I had no control. I really had no control in the investments. And I started not to like the business. And once you don't like something, you might as well just call it quits. So my sales went down because I did pick up the phone. I wouldn't call any people. I was like, dude, I hated my job. So one day I come into the office and I'm going to get fired. Like, I know it. I go in at 8 o'clock and my secretary can't look at me.
Oh, no.
And I got a 10 o'clock appointment and I know it's on, dude. Like, there's no doubt. I'm like, okay. First thing I do is I go print a client list. And I put it in my car and lock it. I want all my clients.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting there, and here's the real truth. This is when everything changed in my life. And I'm going to speed up my story here in a minute. But I want everybody to understand this point, because this is where most people will fail. I remember thinking, man, I'm going to lose my job, and I better figure out what I'm doing quickly. This next hour, 2 hours that I'm in my office, I've got to come up with a plan because my wife and my kids are depending on me. And so I already knew what I wanted to do. It was like the little invoice was like, coach, put me in, right? It was the kid that wanted to be the big kahuna, right? I wanted to do real estate. And so in the solitude of my four walls in my office all by myself, I made the most gut-wrenching, deep down, everything that I absolutely am, honest decision to do real estate and never look back. And I made that commitment and I made it to myself. And I remember vividly, like, I committed to do whatever it took. Like, I said, whatever, as long as it was legal and ethical. If it required me to stay up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning every day, I told myself without hesitation, I'm willing to pay the price. And I'll emphasize this point, and this is where I think most people just actually fail, is they don't commit. Like, your vision has to be so strong and your want or your why has to be so strong that it's like air, okay? It can't be like it's food. We go 30 days without food, right? Yeah. So that's not that important. Yeah, you know, you can go without water 4 or 5 days without water, but like, how long do you last without air? Minutes.
Not very long.
minutes, man. And so that's how important that decision is. And you got to go at it like that every day. So I remember I made the commitment. I get fired. I feel like Rocky for about 5 minutes, right? Then I followed by sheer terror, because now I had to go tell my wife, like, right. Here's the vision. I'm going to do real estate. I don't even know how the hell I'm going to do it, right? But I knew that at this point I was resourceful. Jones taught me how to network, how to meet people, how to find people with money. I knew I had new skill sets that I could go out and figure it out. And so I started off, I come home, tell my wife, and the great thing about my wife, and this is why we've been married so long, she looked at me and she goes, I trust you, I believe you, but don't fail. And that's when the grind started. I mean, I was like, dude, I got to figure it out. And I was trying everything. But one of the things that I realized that I could do is I would go to RIAs, Real Estate Investors Associations. And I was like, I'm going to be a wholesaler. I'm just going to wholesale a deal. I know how to find a deal. Felt like I knew how to find deals. And I matched them up. And this is where, like, I've always been pretty smart and resourceful, that if I'm going to go into a room and it's ran by John, the host, or whatever, I'm smart enough to go to John, the host, and say, hey, John, I'm new here. Can you point out some of the guys that are really doing real estate, like the players? Because John runs his meeting. He's like, oh, well, that guy, and that guy. So every RIA, who do you think I'm sitting by? The players.
Yep.
Right? And I'm like taking notes, like, what do you like to invest? What's your average deal look like? How much rehab do you like? What's your profit margins? He's giving me his recipe of what a deal looks like. And I'm like, great, like crazy, but I find deals like this all the time. Would you pay me a $3,000 fee? And he said, yeah. I said, great. And so that's what I did, man, is like, I started hustling real estate just like that. And all of a sudden it gave me confidence. And I started believing that I could do it. And then something magical happened, because I was only making $3,000, yet these guys were making $25,000 rips when they were doing these deals that I was getting. Like, I knew they were deals. I just didn't have the money to get it.
Yeah.
And so one day everything changed, and that was, his name's Carl. Carl was one of my ex-clients at Edward Jones. I truly didn't believe he had any money. And actually he didn't. He didn't have any extra money. Okay. But he lived in a retirement community, and I play racquetball to this day still with him. He's fit as a fiddle, and sometimes he wins. Okay. Don't judge me.
But the experience on you.
Yeah, man. He's just a really good player. And so we're talking, and he's seen what I'm doing. He's seen some of my success. And I was like, Carl, man, gosh dang it. I'm just frustrated because I'm only making $3,000, but I could be making 20 if I could find money. I'm like, you live at a retirement community. Do you know anybody over there that would like be interested in like getting a better rate of return? I could probably pay 12%. And that's like the money that I would get as a wholesaling fee. He's like, well, let me see what I can do. And the next day he calls me up. He says, Corey, do you want us to do that 12%? And I was like, oh my God, Carl found somebody. And then he's like, hey, Corey, you don't know this, but my home's totally paid for. I can borrow money at 2.5%. If you pay me 12, I make a spread. How much money do you need? I was like, well, Carl, I need like $85,000. And there was a slight pause. And then he's like, yeah. Where do you want me to send it? And dude, just like that, wow. I raised $85,000 in private money. And I learned a couple things. So write this down if you guys are listening, or put it in your brain. This is a big concept that I teach, is that you never ask people for money. You only ask them, who do they know? And what it does is it takes all the pressure off of the person when you're sharing your ideal. Because I didn't ask Carl for money. I was just sharing my ideal and said, hey, do you know anybody? And Carl self-selected. And I've used that principle now to raise, I think last year we raised $15 million of private money for our multifamily business. So I'll jump back in the story, but I just want to make sure that, like, the one thing that I learned to do is the one thing that set me free, because a lot of my buddies started in real estate at the same time as I did in 2009, the crash. But the reason I've got a lot more zeros to my net worth is because I learned to master a skill called raising private money. And then we'll talk about it here in just a minute, how I do it differently than most. So I don't want to go too long, but I know I'm going to hurry the story up.
This is good stuff. This is good stuff though.
Okay. So Sean, what happens is I start learning how to raise money and I go bananas with it. I start really developing, because once I always equate it to like going into the telephone booth as Clark Kent And I spun around that thing. I come out like Superman, like, I raised private money. I was so excited. Then I started looking around like, who else is raising private money? What do they use? Is there tools? Is there a better way to do it? And I learned that you got to have a marketing packet, like a pitch deck, something that you can explain to investors what you do and how you do it. And so I started getting a little bit more sophisticated. I started getting more traction. Within a year, I had about $10 million on the street doing single family fix and flips. And that's where I really ran into my second big hurdle, which I became a workaholic. And to the outside world, it looked really successful. But internally, I was becoming a bad dad and just working all the time where my phone was tied to my ear. And it wasn't the Bruce Wayne life, right?
Right.
And where like I really screwed up and my son was like, hey, dad, you going to be to my game? And I committed to it and I didn't show up. I showed up at the very end. And he came off the field crying. And dude, that crushed me. Like he was, you promised, dad. And I'm telling you, I broke my kid's heart that day, man. And it broke mine, right? And I just said to myself, there's no way I could do this way. I can't continue. And how did I let money and the pursuit of money change everything that I was doing? And so craziest, kids are resilient. They love you no matter what. And my son's in my truck as I drive him home and the whole time. And it's just making it worse. I drop him off and I was like, my wife looks at me. She's like, you better fix it. So I'm driving around and I'm just beating myself up. Like, you know, Corey, you're an idiot. And finally, I actually asked God to forgive me and I forgive myself. I came at peace. And then that's when it happened. As I drove by this apartment. I've driven by this apartment a million times. And I used to say, I wish I could own an apartment. But on that day, something changed and I was empty. I was just letting myself out there. And I believe God just kind of said, hey, and he whispered in my ear. And I asked myself, how can I own an apartment complex? And as the moment I framed the question right, my brain went to work. And it was like, well, what do you know about apartments? I'm like, I don't know a lot. Well, where would you find information? I'm like, well, this is back in the day where we said Barnes and Nobles, right? So I went to Barnes and Nobles and I bought four books. And the last book, the last one that I read was Multifamily Millions by David Lindahl. And David Lindahl actually became my mentor, right? And he taught me the business. And so I went and learned the apartment business. And then I did my first deal. I raised $1.4 million, my first apartment deal. And I bought it for $3.2 million. And we sold that deal 5 years later for $8.8
million. Wow.
So we made like $4.7 million profit.
That's life-changing right there.
That deal set me free, dude. When that deal happened, when we got it to the end, that's when I looked at my wife and said, you no longer have to work, right? It was the catalyst to a lot of the things we're doing now. But that was the big success story. And the truth is, what I've learned is raising money. So let's talk a little bit about raising money. So I do it differently than a lot of syndicators do it, where I do this thing called 6 and 6. And I find that this is super important because most people believe that you've got to make your investors punch drunk with returns, like 20%+. Mm-hmm. And it's simply not true. And how I know that, Sean, you're a financial advisor, or was, are you still active?
No, I'm not. I was on the I was on the sell side, so I was selling stuff to financial advisors. But yeah, I know the business.
You were the rep that would come and say, hey, listen, my Franklin Templeton is the right fund for me, for you.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Which those were good guys to have in your pocket. They helped you understand what was going on. So on my side, I was like, man, Edward Jones taught me, like, this is something I learned really early on when I was talking to investors and I said in front of my, I guess they would call the trainee or whatever. I was a trainer. I was a trainee. And I was saying something like, if we can get you in around 12%, that'd be great. And he was like, after the meeting, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, you never say 12%, dude. Don't ever. He's like, you say 6 to 8. What you're trying to do is 6 to 8. Every time, because if you say 12 and they don't hit it, you're going to lose that money. And so in the financial world, it's all about assets under management. We could do a whole segment on how that business is corrupt.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Keep the assets in-house, in the casino.
In the casino, dude. And 6 to 8 is what most people are making in their IRAs. That's a fact, kids.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you.
And probably after taxes and fees, it's less than that.
It's even less than that, okay? Which is horrible.
It is.
And dude, I'll put you in this mixed balanced portfolio, but it's all paper assets, right? And here's the other thing. They can't even talk about real estate because their brokerage doesn't offer it. And that would be called selling away. And you're not allowed to sell away. In other words, you can only talk about the products your company offers once you're registered with that brokerage. And so you can't sell away. So they can't even recommend or talk about real estate. And right. So it's a really crazy deal. So what I've learned is we tell the story just like we do in the financial world. We call it, for simple, 6 and 6. What does it mean? Well, the first 6 is usually the pref that we give our investors. And that's typically based on cash flow. And what it does for most people, I said, look at it as like a paycheck, an income stream. And what we found is that a lot of our IRA investors that are like in the stock market, when they get to retirement, what they really want is a paycheck. How can I get a paycheck from my money? And the problem with Wall Street and the financial world is very not good at giving you paychecks. You have to sell and there's taxes and it's just not really efficient. And most people don't know, like, because their biggest fear is running out of money. And the average financial advisor will tell you if you're going to plan on living on 3% of all the money you've saved, that's the rule, at least a rule they teach you, is right. You want to try to get around 3%. And the truth is, like, if you had $1 million saved up, you're like, wait, that's $30,000 a year. I've got $1 million in the bank, and I'm supposed to live off of 30?
Yeah.
That sucks.
And then, like, and then there's inflation to take into account, taxes. So
your money, you're going poor. You're just keeping up with inflation. You're losing money at that point, at that rate.
Exactly.
Right? And so that's the case. So they can't sustain that. And so we show them 6%. It's like doubling their paycheck. They went from 30,000 now to 60,000. 60,000 actually feels like it's manageable. Like, I might be able to make this work.
Right.
And so we're doubling people's paychecks. It's very sustainable. So they like consistency. And the problem with most investments out there, like, they don't always allow you to, most of them don't send dividend checks. And I'm thinking of like bonds. Bonds usually pay annually or semi-annually, twice a year or once a year. That's it. Well, that's hard to budget money with your own, when you're only getting checks once a year. If you get them once a quarter, well, that's kind of manageable. Most people can manage their money a little bit better in quarters, but half a year's and years, not very manageable, not sustainable. So we usually win in that department. So 6% as a paycheck, just with that alone, for most people that are in the stock market, is like hitting gold. And so we hit that hammer first. And then we're like, but wait, it's like there's more, okay? Because we are going to keep this asset for 5 years and we're going to keep raising the rents. We're going to improve it. And eventually we're going to sell it for a profit. And when we get that profit, we give you an additional 6% annualized for the amount of years that you've been in it. And so they end up getting another chunk of money. And so what it comes down to is, like, 6% is a $6,000 a year. If you give us $100,000, it's $6,000 a year, 5 years in a row. And then at the end, we're going to give you an additional $30,000. So if someone gave us $100,000, at the end of 5 years, they would have got $60,000. And that's a total return of 12%. And in the financial world, 12% is like nirvana.
Yep.
But if I was to sell somebody at 12, it almost feels too, what's the word? Risky.
Risky, yeah.
Right? People are risk averse, especially in retirement. So if you sell it as a 6 and 6, they understand that doesn't seem as risky. Okay, 6%, that's a solid return. I'm okay with that. And another 6% on the back end, that makes sense as well. But it's really a 12% total return. And so I can find that kind of money all day, every day. It's not greedy. And what does that allow me to do as the syndicator? I get to make a little bit more on my end, which I think that's what I should do. I'm in business for myself. I get to make solid returns for investors, so that's a win. And then I get to really improve the communities that my tenants live in, that I call them families, that they call home. And right. in my mind, that's a win, win, win. Everybody's winning. And it's kind of like Donald Trump. Like, everybody gets tired of winning.
And it probably lets you find more deals too.
It does, man.
You're not saying you're paying 20%+ out.
Exactly. It allows you, the barrier to entry is less than some of my other competitors that are paying much more stupid returns or taking just a lot less of the pie. And yeah. I've learned that if you want to make money, you've got a pencil to make money. Like if you want to make money as the syndicator, structure your deals to make money. We found that 6 and 6 is the right. Listen, we may one day try 5 and 5, but like 6 and 6 seems to get people to give us their money in large amounts, and it serves the right kind of client. Now, if I was to go fish in the cesspool of a creditor,
private equity.
Yeah, private equity or small family office, dude, they would email. They wouldn't even give me the time of day. They're like, dude, no. Because what happens is he who has the money usually makes all the rules.
Yeah.
And so these big firms that have lots of money, they're like, well, listen, here's the deal we'll offer you. And they want to control, like, we want this, we want this equity, we want this pref, we want you to make this little piece of money. And then we'll give you our capital. Well, screw that. Screw having someone tell you what to do.
Right.
So I just say, like, listen, just do it the other way around. Like the private money lenders give you their, you know, hard money lenders. What do they give you? They give you their term sheet. Here's the terms, right? And so I've just learned to do that with my investors. Say, guys, here's how our deals work. Here's our terms. If you want it, great. If not, go take a hike. And you almost got to be a little bit callous like that. I've learned to say, hey, listen, we're not for everybody. But if you want a solid return that you can count on, we're probably your shop, right?
That's a true 12% return.
Yes.
Unlike the stock market where you're getting a return and then Uncle Sam comes at the end of the year, takes away some of that return.
And we've not even talked about the tax implications. Of,
right, you know, exactly.
Because they come in as owners, they get to share in our depreciation. And so we can really do some really cool stuff with the cost segregation studies that are now available that you can use and the new rules they have in place where you can take 100% of that money and use it in your first year. Like we've got some investors that give $1,000 and get $32,000 in depreciation.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool, man. Like the game is rigged because our legislators, rich people have always been making the rules. I believe that. And so if you want to play a rich man's game, you got to learn rich man's rules. And then you just got to play the game to win. And so once you understand those concepts, raising money, like for most people, is really scary. It's like taboo. Like we don't talk about money around the table. I sure as hell didn't either, but I learned to. I educated myself on the how money works. That's what Edward Jones gave me. Just like you, you got an education. You can talk money. Not everybody can. And it's not hard. Like I still dumb it down because most of my investors, they don't even understand all the complications of IRR and all that stuff. Like I just like, hey, listen, if you give me, most people I communicate with money, if you give me $100,000, you're going to get $6,000. They're like, okay, $6,000. Yep. And then I'll tell them what that percentage means.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Because they just really want to know how much am I going to make on my money? Most of them. Now, some of them are a little bit more sophisticated, but that's the rules to the game, at least how I play it. And the pond that I'm fishing in is a $1 trillion industry. Like the whole goal is just like Kahuna Investments. We're an alternative to the stock market.
Yep.
And
yeah, there's a lot
of
money out
there. People are looking for us. They're looking for you. They're looking for me. They're looking for people that have something, you know, track record or whatever. And if you don't have a track record, go find someone that does. Sean, that's what you did.
Yep.
And so when you play the game to win, it's an amazing, great game. I'll tell you, I am living my dream of living a life that I never thought of. And the truth is, we're just getting started. I'm hitting a really good deal. And the goal is like 1 to 3 deals a year. That's all my goal is, right? I'm not trying to do 12 or 15. I'm not trying to be Superman because I'm living a great life. So I don't want to be a workaholic. 1 or 2 deals, great. My team can handle that. I'm actually working less and less in my business, more and more, because I keep adding layers and systems to where I'm just truly becoming the CEO and managing stuff. And all my team does a lot of the other work. It's great. So it's a good life.
That's awesome. Corey, I'm thinking of one quote that you said to me once, and I just want you to kind of explain it to the listeners, but it stuck with me. You said, the money is in the money. And ever since you said that, it kind of shifted my mindset on that the money is in the money. So if you could just explain that to the listeners, that'd be great.
Oh, man. So that's one of my favorite sayings too. Because I used to think real estate, the money was in real estate.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody thought, oh, you know, you got to be in real estate. What I've learned is that's bull crap. Okay? Listen, the money's not in real estate. Okay? The money is in he who can procure the money. Because listen, I bought my first deal, not because I was great and smart. It was because I walked into a room. It was a multifamily event. And it was like the first day, and it was at the end of the day, I was in the back of the room and I said, hey, listen, I've got a crap ton of money and I'm looking for some deals. Is there any deals out there? And so for the next 4 days, I didn't buy lunch or dinner because I was like, hey, Corey, look at my deal. Look at my deal. And I realized all of a sudden the Corleone method became real, which is when I learned that the money is always patient. The money always has the last look. The money makes the rules. The money negotiates out of strength. The money's not in real estate, guys. The money's in the money. And it doesn't have to be your money. I never had the money, but I had a bunch of people that I knew that would give it to me. And that's the power that I walked into that room with. And I've learned that he who can procure capital, the money's in the capital game, man. And if you can bring money to any deal, to any syndicator, you can negotiate a very healthy part of that GP for yourself. And that's fact. So like I teach money first because I think money is important. The next part is finding a deal. And you can find a deal. That's simply just doing math and doing enough tries to find and looking at enough stuff. But raising capital is a little different skill set that you got to practice, drill, and rehearse. And it takes a little more time to incubate and get good. But when you get good at it and you can control money, when you can say, hey, guys, I got this deal, and you make some calls and some emails and it comes rushing in, that's very powerful. And very few people have taken the time to master that.
Yep.
That's why the money's in the money, because not everybody does it. But those who can get to make lots of rules and gets to create your sunsets and palm trees life.
Attain that Bruce Wayne lifestyle.
That's it, man. Hey, that property's up for sale. We're selling a property next summer. We're going to sell it this summer, but COVID got in the way.
Yeah.
I might be owning that house in Hawaii. I would love to complete the Kahuna story.
What a story. That's just phenomenal.
Right?
And then you're Bruce Wayne.
Well, then I'm Bruce Wayne, but I'm not the grumpy old man. I still want to teach it and help other people understand that my goal is this, is if I can leave enough clues, and that's why I started my podcast too, the Multifamily Legacy Podcast, was to try to leave enough clues. Just like, Sean, you've got this podcast. You're out there you're bringing out good guests. You're creating, helping people give clues to the process of how did you become successful? What did you do? And that's always been my goal, is to leave enough crumbs that people can see the tracks very clearly on the road that I travel.
That's awesome. What's in store for the future for the Big Kahuna?
More vacations, a lot of rock crawling. And honestly, listen, we just did this company Traction. It's called EOS.
Yep.
We just put a business model. My goal is to become a wealth management company without saying wealth management. We're not going to manage people's money. But in essence, that's what we are doing as a real estate company. And we're just trying to elevate our company to become more professional, adding more people, more systems. And I think we can do 1 to 3 deals a year. That's all we're trying to do. We're just going to elevate ourselves in our marketplace and just keep trying to get that professional grade where we look and talk different. And we have a big vision. Our company, we provide passive investors a solid return that to help us create apartment communities that our investors or that our tenants call home. And so that's what we want to do, is we want to do more of that consistently and just have a high level, high touch, right? So that doesn't take a lot of work, but it takes a lot of planning, right? Yeah. And so as you grow in your business too, you'll find that you hit ceilings. And to break through that ceiling takes a little bit of work, a little bit of energy, and a little bit of planning. And you break through, and so we'll just keep doing that. I think I love the game of real estate. It's like Monopoly, except I stopped buying the greenhouses.
Yep, only those red ones.
Just buy the reds, man.
I love it. Well, hey, that reminds me of this, the red houses. This is a phenomenal book. For those who can't or not watching and listening, it's called Copy Your Way to Success, Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. And this is a book by the one and only Corey Peterson.
Thanks, my friend.
I highly recommend picking this up.
You can get it anywhere you can buy a book, like Amazon or whatever, iTunes or whatever. I think there's an audio too. We did audio on that book. I wrote that book. That's one of the books I wrote from my heart, man. Like that is my story, my journey. And that book will make you laugh, make you cry, and hopefully it'll inspire you to do great things.
Hey, it's done that for me. And maybe The rest of you will be lucky enough to win a coveted pineapple award.
That's it, brother.
Corey has some great events if you want to learn more. And if you want to share those events that you have coming up, please do so.
Well, yeah, so we don't have any events right now. We put them on hold.
COVID,
We're going to have something coming in the spring called Apartments the Million Summit. And that's going to be about 600 people event. We've got some really great speakers lined up. We're not ready to officially announce it yet, but it is coming. So we've got some big things. We have some big plans for 2021 because 2020 sucked.
It's been a roller coaster, that's for sure. Where can everybody find you, Corey?
Hey, listen, best way is to go to either kahunawealthbuilders.com is our education site where there's a bunch of stuff. And really, that's a great place. Go in there. There's a quick start workshop that you can click on. You get it for free. And it's a video training series of how I raise private money and how I find apartment deals. And it's really good stuff. I highly recommend that you do that. It's free and it won't cost you nothing, but it's good content.
I recommend it as well. Well, before I let you go, Corey, I usually ask all of my guests just one question, kind of like an action item, because I like to leave my listeners with something they can go out and do. And that would be, if there's someone out there who wants to get into the real estate game, maybe they've had a little mindset issue like I had where I thought I needed to get experience, I needed to grow my own capital. What would you say to them if they really wanted to get into this business?
Man, I would say do not waste time. My only biggest regret is I wish I would have started sooner, right? I didn't get the download from the mothership till I was like 32. And I wish I would have started sooner. And for those of you thinking that, you know, if real estate is or not the right deal, I'm telling you that it is. I've seen the most successful, easiest way to make a passive income is through real estate, whether it's single family homes or multis. Now, I'm very jaded in the multifamily sector because it does provide way more passive income than single family homes. And so in other words, but it doesn't have to be in a big apartment complex. It could be just a duplex. It could be a quad. Anything that's better than one, right? Two is better than one. Four is better than one. Four is better than two, right? And so if you just start there and just get into action, listen, I've gotten very accustomed to failing. I've failed more times than not. Mm-hmm. But just like my book says, copy your ways to success. That's what I did. I just found good mentors, good education, and I did what they did, and I didn't do what they didn't do. In other words, I didn't try to change the recipe. I just followed the recipe. And most people, if you just follow the recipe, put the work in, you'll get the same outcome. Yeah. Not hard.
That's great. That's what I'd say too. Just find a mentor. Find someone that is living the life and doing the business you want to do. And just go, don't ask, but add value and see how you can add value to them. And then I know value will come back tenfold. And that's what's happening with our relationship here. I'm just truly blessed and thankful for having you, my corner, Corey.
Awesome. I'm super proud of you, dude. I see you making big moves and just, you're going to creating your legacy, the Sean Winslow legacy. It's the most rewarding thing out there, especially as an educator, when you see people that you've helped along the way, just get out there and go crush. It is an absolute wonderful feeling to have, to be a part of that, because we're all on a journey, man. And real estate is the journey. And I believe the journey is the reward.
It's a fun ride.
Yeah, it is. It's a great ride.
Well, thanks for coming on, Corey.
Hey, man, Sean, thanks again for having me. You have a wonderful day, brother.
All right. You too, my friend.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.